Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
We'll record the Mincing Rascals podcast later this afternoon. It'll drop early this evening. On that panel, Austin Berg, Vice President of Marketing at the Illinois Policy Institute and the co-founder of an organization called Ironlight. It's a marketing agency helping purpose-driven brands change the world, as Austin likes to say. Hi, Austin. How are you?
Hey, John. Happy New Year.
Likewise. You've been following the Mike Madigan trial. You've been following the Mike Madigan career as well as anybody in Chicago for years. What are you thinking about the trial so far?
I was totally shocked by the fact that he took the stand yesterday. I mean, that is, especially, you know, for any politician to do that is notable. The last time we really saw one on this scale was during the Rod Blagojevich trial. But of course, as Chicago Tribune's Jason Meisner pointed out, you kind of expect Rod Blagojevich to go up and talk a lot, right? You do not expect that from a figure like Madigan, who is famously sort of taciturn, one of his many nicknames being the Sphinx. So I think that just in terms of the, you know, palace intrigue of the trial certainly points to a bit of desperation. He's obviously exposing himself a great deal on cross-examination. I would also say the contents of some of what he was talking about, really trying to paint this picture of, you know, not coming from a nurturing household, his father dealing with issues of alcoholism, you know, members and other members of his family, him getting slapped across the face by his father when he came home, when Madigan came home drunk one day to smack some sense into him, you know, really just sort of trying to paint this picture of a more sympathetic figure.
Yeah.
We'll see if that works. I wouldn't have high hopes for that working, though.
It was an interesting scene, wasn't it? The biography of Madigan, I thought, was interesting, if nothing else. Dad slaps him across the face when he comes home drunk and says, "Kid, how many times have I told you, never drink on an empty stomach? And
exactly.
And don't drink before dinner." I didn't know a lot of the things about him that I've read the last couple of days. Maybe you did. It's friendly fire from his attorney. But it does seem like he's presenting himself as a reasonable but very powerful man. Think about this, Austin. If you did have the job he had for as long as he had it, of course you have enormous power.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you're corrupt. So can you get somebody appointed to a board? Can you get somebody a job? Yeah. Do you babysit them afterwards? No. I wonder if that line of reasoning is going to be persuasive.
Yeah, and you even saw this, I believe, as one of the first questions, if not the first question to him by his attorney, was essentially, you know, do people ask you for things, right?
Yeah,
Speaker
yeah.
of the House. And it's like, yeah, he was a lawmaker. He was a state representative for 50 years, House Speaker for more than 30. Yeah, many, many people would have asked him for things, of course. And really, you're 100% right. It's sort of painting him as like, you know, this is just the nature of politics. And this was, of course, Blagojevich's argument as well. This is simply the nature of politics. I was not, my help was not contingent, or my asks were not contingent on any official state action. But there were many people who I knew who I sometimes wanted to help get jobs. And I would pass those resumes on to my friend Mike McLean. And after that, I really didn't know what was, you know, after that, I knew nothing. And I was really, really angry when I learned that, you know, in fact, a couple of those people had been given jobs where they didn't show up to work. And that's not really not fair. But you're totally right. It's sort of him kind of being magnanimous and saying, yeah, I'm a hugely influential state politician in a position of authority. Many people ask me for things, but that doesn't mean this is corrupt. And really, this is the argument that we heard for so many years in covering Madigan, where we would point out things that were structurally encouraging corruption. Things like the fact that he could bottle up something in the Rules Committee and a bill could never get a hearing. Things like the fact that he was head of the party while also being head of the House, you know, encouraging this sort of blending of power and responsibilities across political and policy. Things like the fact that Illinois is one of a few states that really has no real conflict of interest policy for lawmakers. They don't have to disclose these conflict of interests, and there's very little penalty for even having a conflict of interest. It's basically the honor system.
About that, how much like the Ed Burke case is the Mike Madigan case, in that Burke was accused of and went to jail for steering business to his firm, so he does personally profit from that. Did that happen with Mike Madigan as well? Is that the charge?
There's really two elements of the Madigan case. One is similar to Burke, and one is not that similar. So there's one that arises from, people may know, the ComEd 4 scandal, where essentially the allegation is that he was having people placed in prominent positions within ComEd, often no work, no show contracts, in exchange for official action on ComEd-related bills in Springfield. So that's different from Burke, who essentially was he was convicted on shaking down the owner of a small business to hire his law firm. Now, the second part of Madigan's of these charges is similar to Burke, and it's that essentially Madigan was trying to steer business to his property tax appeals firm in exchange for state action to sell a piece of property in Chinatown. Now, his business was not hired, and that transfer was not made, but he's on tape having meetings with folks, intimating that there is some kind of quid pro quo. We'll see what the jury has to say about that. But that is a similar element with Ed Burke, and speaks to this point about structurally, we need to have better guardrails in place for conflicts of interest, because that's a very clear, blatant one in both cases.
I wonder if whoever is going to cross-examine him has got a little knot in their stomach, like, you'd better not screw this up now. You've got 10 years of evidence. You've got hundreds of hours of tape. And I can just see Madigan being fairly accomplished on the stand and not being as easy to pin down. What do you think about that?
Definitely. And we've seen this actually in depositions in other lawsuits. There was a lawsuit against Madigan by a candidate who ran against him in his district, Jason Gonzalez, after Madigan put up two candidates with Hispanic last names to kind of split the vote.
Yeah.
And we had video evidence of Madigan in a deposition. And yeah, I mean, the guy's an attorney. The man was in politics for 50 years. He knows how to not answer a question, perhaps more than, you know, better than anybody. But I still, you know, even that said, and even though he's, you know, extraordinarily, quote unquote, accomplished politician, I can't see this decision to testify as anything other than a desperate move.
Austin Burke is the vice president of marketing for the Illinois Policy Institute. He's the co-founder of IronLight. It's a marketing agency. It's an issue-oriented marketing agency. Will you be joining us on the Mincing Rascals today?
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you later today.
That's Austin Burke. Thank you, sir.